your crooked places straight. You ever been on a path before and you're like, I don't even know which way to go? You get to that road, that place in the road where you don't know, should I take this job? Should I take this job? Should I buy this car that's brand new? Should I buy this car that's a used car? Should I go to this church or should I go to that church? What religion am I? Let me tell you something. Religion doesn't matter. Amen? Amen. Not in this church anyway. We don't handle snakes here, by the way, if y'all are just wondering. Feel free to kill any that you see crawling around. He said, I'll make the rough places smooth. These distractions. See what's amazing about the devil is he doesn't want you to have money. People always say that, you know, I think it's funny when people say that money is evil. And I'm like, well, why hasn't the devil overloaded you with money? If money's so bad, why don't you have a bunch of it? Why hasn't the devil given you plenty of it? Amen? Oh, boy, that's just a good swift kick in the pants right there, isn't it? That's like an eye-opener right there. It says, you know what, I've been thinking that way for a long time. Isn't Revelation amazing? Like you just all of a sudden hear something new and different. This is my religion always said this. Religion don't matter. All that matters is what that word says. God didn't have to write a Bible, but thank God he did. Amen? So we know what to do with what we have. He said, I'll make your crooked places straight. You'll be wandering, you know, like a wilderness. You know, like in a wilderness, you got to roam around the trees. And he said, I will make a path, a straight path in the wilderness. And there'll be no distractions and there'll be no confusion on which way you're supposed to go. God can do that with your money. If your bank account looks like it doesn't ever have anything in it, I'm here to tell you that that is not from God. He wants you to be prosperous. God wants you wealthy. He wants you rich. Not for yourself, but so that you can bless others. Yes, it's for yourself. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. But I'm here to tell you, new people, he wants you to be blessed so you can bless others. Bless them at Christmas. Maybe give them a car. Maybe pass out $100 bills. Ain't nothing more fun than passing out hundreds. Amen? Or walk out of a restaurant and say, here, let me get the tip for you. You know, here, let me get the tip for you. Oh, here, let me get the tip for you. Just pass out 10s and 20s like that, you know. That stuff's fun. You can't mess up giving. There is no way you can mess it up. God tells you to give, even if you think, well, is this God or is it not God? Well, I'm here to tell you, even if it's not, you can't mess it up. God wants you prosperous, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen. Y'all come give a big round of applause today. And y'all clap for Janet as she comes and sings you a special.
I love these babies being up here. God bless you. I'm so glad to be here this morning. I'm so thankful this morning that we have a hope that Jesus is coming again. And this song I'm singing this morning is an old song. It's like an old revival song, Days of Elijah. And if you know this song, just stand up and sing this song or do the motions or whatever you want to do. Because it's a power song, y'all. It's a power song. And I'm so thankful that we have the hope that he is coming riding on a cloud to get us. And we don't need to be dismayed by the things of this world, by the craziness of this earth. Look not to the right or to the left. Keep your eyes on the sky. Amen. Days of Elijah. Stand up, praise the Lord with me. Real loud, baby. Real loud. Louder. Louder. Louder.
The days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
Y'all sing loud.
And though these are days of great trial, but famine and darkness in store, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare the way.
Fantastic. These are the days of the prophets. Man, ain't that the truth? Seeing prophecy fulfilled every day. You're starting to see the Holy Ghost poured out, man. Amazing stuff. Amazing, I tell you. So Sharon told me that church starts at 10:30 in Andrews. And they said one of the Baptist churches down there just canceled the service and said, let's go hear this guy preach. Amen. That's pretty cool. But let's just go see what this old cowboy has to say. Amen to that, huh? All right, well, the youth is staying in. And the kids, you are dismissed. Big round of applause. Y'all clap for the kids. Amen. See you, kids. Amen to that. Yep, days of Elijah and Ezekiel. You're going to start seeing religions come together. Because I'm telling you, that's what separated the church, was religion. Devil found a way, well, okay, somebody's got a disagreement, let's just separate them. And that's how most churches were started. Most churches were started in offense because somebody got mad in the church and they went and started their own church, and somebody's up there preaching, they ain't even called to preach, and so on and so forth. So, Thank God it's all coming back together, though. Amen. You're starting to see, and I've been saying this for a while, you're going to start seeing the enemy turn on itself. You're starting to see it happening at our highest levels in our government. I always thought, you know, when you've got people in there that are extreme, and then you've got the extreme that's really extreme, there's going to be some fighting. Guess who wins? We do. Sad it has to be that way. You know, God loves even those people. Even the people that are against us, God loves them. Because it's not them we're wrestling with. It's those devils that are influencing them. I'm here to tell you, you're going to start seeing the Holy Ghost poured out in these end times. You're going to see it. Which is also fitting because the title of this message is God with us. God with us. Ever since the beginning of time, God has been trying to get back to the earth to be with his people. See, in the beginning, God was with Adam and Eve. He was there ministering to them in the garden, meeting them daily. You know, I don't know if it was every day. I'm guessing it was. And then sin came into the earth. And there were times in history where God didn't talk to anybody. I mean, hundreds of years, God didn't say a word to anybody. And then there were the prophets. And then there were the judges. And, you know, and there was Moses. And, you know, the whole purpose of the tabernacle was so that God could be with them. That was the whole purpose. God was trying to get back to earth to be with his people. Now, when Jesus came to the earth and Jesus left, who did he leave with us? The Holy Ghost. Now, guess what? God's with us 24 hours a day. All of us that have received him. Now, if you haven't received him, he's on the outside saying, you better let me in. You better let me in. Hello, knock on the door. You better let me in. I'm going to help you. I'm going to save you from a bunch of stuff you don't see coming. Hello, I'm knocking on the door. It has always been God's purpose and his passion is to always be with us. We know this to be true because one day we're going to dwell in heaven with him in his presence, in the glory. See, we're walking in glory right now. We just can't see it. But one day you're going to be able to see it. It's going to manifest. You're going to be able to see the glory. God did not put you here on earth so that you could just barely get by and stumble into heaven. And a lot of people think that. A lot of religions teach that, you know, once you're saved, that's it. And that's all they talk about is salvation, which is wonderful. But some churches don't talk about what happens after salvation. They don't ever get you off the milk of the word and put you on the sirloin steak medium rare. Amen? They don't ever bring them out of, you know, drinking milk every day and maybe eating some, you remember the sweet potatoes in a jar, you know? Or the green beans in the jar that you'd give your kids. And as they got a little older, you'd throw them a French fry. And then eventually one day they grow some teeth. Then you start giving them some steak. Well, if you're a vegetarian, maybe not. But in our house, we serve steak. I eat my vegetables and fruit too. But by golly, I eat steak. And all this nonsense about getting rid of cows because of cow flatulence, you got to be kidding me. Where are we going to send all the cows? Where are all the cows going to go? They ain't going to California. I can promise you that. You know where they're coming? They're coming to Texas. Because we're the only ones left. You got to get off the milk of the word. God is not about your religion. You're not going to get to heaven. He's not going to say, were you Catholic or Baptist? Okay, well, you go over there. He's not going to say that. He's not going to say, what church did you go to? Oh, you went to Cowboy Church. That means you get to live here. No, all he's going to know is, have you received Jesus? Because he's a God that's wanting to be with us. He didn't put you here to barely get by. He didn't put you on earth to barely get by. He didn't put you here on earth to stumble through life and then just barely get to heaven just because you've received Jesus. No, he said there's more to it than that. The only thing that should be different when your life ends is when you leave this earth and transition into a place called heaven. Because heaven's a place. Heaven's not an idea or some fairy tale. It's a place. It's a location. It's not here on earth. Not yet. But it will be. And they have walls. It's going to be 1,500 miles this way. It's going to be 1,500 miles that way. It's going to be 1,500 miles that way. And it's going to be 1,500 miles that way. And it's got walls. And those walls are to keep the bad guys out. But the good thing is, you know what's great about us? Is we'll get to come and go as we please. We'll get to go into heaven. And then we'll get to go into the earth. And we'll get to go back into heaven that's here on the earth. And we'll get to leave heaven and go into the earth. Because why? We have the golden ticket. Remember the Oompa Loompas and the chocolate factory? We got the golden ticket. We get to go to the place that only we get to go to because we've received Jesus. And we serve a God that wants to be with us. Genesis chapter 26. I'm going to flip through a few scriptures today and I won't keep you long. We're going to start in chapter 26, and we'll go to chapter 48. We'll go to 1 Kings. We'll go to Psalms and then to Mark. If you want to find those, go ahead. If not, just write them down. I don't care. Genesis chapter 26. If you don't know where Genesis is, you better find out. It's like learning where John is. Chapter 26, verse 26, it says, "Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar." And I don't know why they can't call these people Bill and Bob. "And Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol," I guess that's where Phil came from, "Phicol, the chief captain of the army. And Isaac said unto him, 'Wherefore come ye to me, seeing you hate me and have sent me away from you?' And they said, 'We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee.'" In other words, they're saying, let's make a contract. Let's write the Bill of Rights here. Let's write our constitution between us two. He says that thou wilt do us no harm, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Now, if you read up, you know, about verse 16 and down, you'll see kind of what was going on and why they're making this contract. He kicked Isaac out because they were so prosperous and they couldn't get along. He said, so y'all just leave in peace. A lot of times when they asked you to leave, it wasn't so pretty. There was a war. He said, I let you leave in peace. He said, now let us have a contract between us. Because why? Because they saw that the Lord was with them. If I'd have been doing anything in this meeting, I'd have said, I don't know who this God is that y'all have, but I'd like to know who he is. And he said in verse 30, he said, he made them a feast and did eat and drink. And they rose up betimes, which means in the morning, and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said to him, we have found water. Now pay close attention to that phrase right there. We have found water. Now if you read up, like I said, in verse 16 and on down, you'll see as Isaac moved throughout the region, they had to dig wells. Aren't we so blessed to have running water and electricity and a hot water heater? They were having to go around and find water. And they didn't have those big machines like Joe Eddy has, where it digs down 500 feet and gets the perfect water. No, they only had to go down, you know, they had to dig this thing by hand. Even when your enemies send you away because of how awesome you are, you need to remember that it is God that made you awesome. Your enemies are going to send you away. Everybody in here has enemies, don't get me wrong. Don't try to act like you ain't had no enemies in your life. We all have had enemies. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because the Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? If God's for you, it don't matter who's against you. It don't matter. Your enemies might send you away. Your enemies might tell you, you know what, I don't like you. You might have a problem at your job. Your boss might send you away. There might be people working around you that don't like you. And they go behind your back and they try to get the boss to fire you because they don't like you. Because you're successful and they're not. Your enemies might send you away. But the only reason they send you away is usually because they see something that you have that they don't have. And when they see something that you have that they don't know, that they don't have, and they don't know how to get what you have, they get jealous. And then there's envy. And then they find ways to get rid of you. You don't have to make peace with your enemies. Your enemies might come to you and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have acted like that. I shouldn't have done those things. But if they ever do come to you, be it known unto you that there will be a well of water open up. There will be a life spring of water. He said, the servant said, Isaac, we have found water. And if you read up in verse 16 or so and down, you'll see that every time there was peace, there was water. Now, there were times they found water, but they didn't find no peace. They had moved to a region. They'd get in war with the locals. They'd end up saying, you know what? Y'all don't like us. That's fine. We will pack up our tents and leave. What do they call those people? Gypsies? People that get around, you know, they get their motorhomes. They get going. You know, they all travel together like a band of gypsies. That's what they did. Every time there was war, they'd just say, you know what? It's okay. No problem. We'll just pack up our stuff and go. Isn't it amazing that our God is always the God that's always pushing love and peace? And he said, if you will learn to live in this law of love, in this law of peace, I will find ways to bless you. I will take you somewhere where the enemies will come and find you, and they will make peace with you, and there will be water there. Number one, if you're taking notes, when God is with you, your enemies will make peace with you. Your enemies will find you, and they will go out of their way to make peace with you and make a covenant with you and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have acted like that. Can we shake hands and get over this? And your response better not be, get out of my house, sucker. You know, your heart might be saying one thing, or your mouth is wanting to say one thing, but your heart better be saying another. Yeah, well, they always say, you know, what my heart doesn't say, my face will. You know, shouldn't be like that. It absolutely should not be like that. And I know your face wants to make that face. But I'm here to tell you, if you will make peace with your enemies, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, there ain't nothing like living with unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart. If you'd have unforgiveness, I'm telling you, your life is going to be miserable. I don't care how much of a Jesus freak you are. If you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, you better get rid of it, because it's only hurting you. It ain't hurting them, it's hurting you. Number two, chapter 48. Verse 21, it says, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Now remember, he said this to Joseph. Now y'all know the story of Joseph. When they left Egypt, they carried him with them. They didn't leave Joseph. Joseph was buried in a tomb in Egypt. He said, I will be with you. And he said, you will come again into the... Isn't it amazing? God even blesses the dead guys. He said, I will bring you, and those people will carry your bones into the promised land. Number two, when God is with you, he will bring you to the land of your inheritance. In your land, you will be blessed. Maybe some of us need to realize this. This is one of the best revelations I ever got. You're not called to be everywhere. You're called to be somewhere. You are not Jesus Jr. Amen? You're not called to be everywhere. If you're thinking about taking a job or moving to a different church or whatever it is you're deciding to do in life, I'm here to tell you that you are not called everywhere. You are called to be somewhere. When God told Elijah to go to the brook, he said, I will feed you where? What did he say? He said, I will feed you there. What would have happened if he wouldn't have went to the brook? He had had to make him a bow and an arrow and look for the nearest big whitetail, but amen. And have to find him a deer to kill, or he'd had to make him a fishing pole. He'd had to go on fishing. He said, but if you will go to the place called there, I will provide for you. In your land, the land that is for you. Did you know that God has things for you? If Jeremiah 29:11 says that I have plans for you, if God says that I have plans for you that nobody else knows about, that I and he says, I have plans. And he said, if you will listen to me, I will show you those plans. If God says, I have plans for you, you can bet there's going to be milestones that you're going to hit in life. That could be graduating from college, and for some of you, graduating from high school. I hope that ain't all y'all. Amen. Graduating high school, that's a milestone. Graduating college, that's another milestone. Making $1 million in a lifetime, that's hitting a milestone. Amen. Making $100,000 might be a milestone. If God has plans for you, you can bet there's going to be milestones. There are certain things that God has planned for you that he doesn't have planned for anybody else. There is not a single person on this planet that is like you, not one. God has plans for you specifically, and if you will follow them, you will be blessed in your land. In your land, there is provision for all your needs. In your land, your family and ancestors will prosper. You will own it and possess it. The thing about God is that when he gives you something, it don't belong to nobody else. And there ain't nobody that can take it from you. Oh yeah, you might see some of those things disappear for a little while, but I'm here to tell you that when it's yours, it's yours. And if you lose it, it's your fault, not God's. Amen? Because I'm telling you, if God has anything to do with it, you won't fail. You won't lose what it is that he has given you. You will own it and you will possess it. When God is with you, he will bring you into the land of your inheritance. Don't rely on your job to be your provider. Make God your provider. Anything you're dealing with, I'm here to tell you, God can get you through it. He will bring you through. He will not leave you in the valley. He will make the rough places smooth. He'll bring the mountains down. He'll bring the valleys up. And he will make a path for you in the wilderness. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 8. Just keep turning to the right if you're with me. 1 Kings chapter 8. If you're taking notes, number 3. When God is with you, he maintains you. He maintains. Chapter 8. Verse 56 says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto the people of Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word. Don't ever forget that. When God makes a covenant with you, nothing that he says will fail. He told Isaac, he said, I will make sure you, he said, Isaac told Joseph, he said, I will make sure that you will come to the land of your fathers. Why? Because God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, I made a covenant with your forefathers, with your ancestors, and because I made that covenant, you will get there. Blessed be the Lord, verse 56, that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God will be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no one else. I just laugh when I hear Congress people in our people that are in Congress right now praising Allah. Let me tell you, there is no Allah. Our God teaches us how to love. Your God teaches us how to hate. There is nothing more stressful and irritating in your life than hating other people. It requires way too much energy. We will never praise Allah. I don't care who's in Congress. I'm here to tell you that there's a seed still left on this earth, and we're called Christians, and there ain't no way that Allah's going to take over this country. I can guarantee you. When God is with you, He maintains you. He gives you rest, and not one word that God promises fails. If He says it, it will come to pass. If He says it, it will come to pass. When He's with you, He never leaves you. If He says, I'm going to be with you. Now, when the Holy Ghost is with you, He's with you. I'm here to tell you, He is on the inside of you. He is talking to you. Nobody talks more than God. I don't care if you do call yourself some gossip person or if you say you've got friends that are gossipers. Nobody talks more than God. He is constantly ministering to you on your inner man and trying to help you get through this thing called life. When God is with you, as you read in verse 48, He talks about inclining. It says that He may incline our hearts. What does that mean? He is constantly drawing you. He is constantly pulling you and trying to get you to come. Remember what I preached about a few months ago about faith? What does faith do? Faith comes. Faith comes. When you call on faith and you believe it in your heart, faith has to come. The more you hear the word of God, the more faith builds up on the inside of you. When you hear or read the word of God, faith starts to grow on the inside of you. And the more that it grows, the bigger you get. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. And I'm telling you, if your faith starts growing so big that you become one of those spiritual giants, I'm telling you, there ain't no devil in hell that can come against you. There ain't no devil in hell that can take your money and get away with it. Ain't no devil in hell that can take your job and get away with it. Let me tell you something. If something ends, the good thing about things that end is there's always another beginning. No matter how many times you fail in life, there's always going to be another beginning. It's never as bad as it first appears. Never. It never gets as bad. You're never going to be, like the Bible says, stressed to the point of sweating blood or giving up your blood like Jesus did. You will never be pushed to that point. God won't allow it. Now, you might be stressed in life. I'm not saying that life as a Christian is going to be all unicorns and cotton candy. But I'm here to tell you that if it ever gets bad, I'm here to tell you that God's going to be with you and He can get you through it. When God is with you, He inclines you and draws you constantly towards Him. Constantly. Constantly. He maintains us because His name is on the line. Think about that. He maintains us because His name is on the line. Remember when Moses was on the mountain with God, and they were down there worshiping the golden calf, and God was so furious. He said, I'm going to destroy every one of them. He said, I'm going to start this generation over with you, Moses. And Moses said to God, he started interceding for his people. Moses was an interceder. He was an intercessory prayer guy. He said, if you destroy all those people, the word is going to spread. And he said, the word is going to get back to Egypt that you brought these people out here in the desert to die. And that's going to embolden the Egyptians, because the Egyptian empire was a big thing back then. I mean, that's a big deal. He said, if you do that, you're going to destroy your name. Now, God didn't care one way or the other. He could have destroyed them or let them live. God doesn't need us. He don't need us, but He darn sure wants us. He don't have to have us. He can live in eternity in heaven forever. He don't need us in there. He doesn't need us to go to heaven, but He wants us. Moses said, your name is on the line here. And because of Moses interceding, let me tell you, intercessory prayer works. God turned from his wrath. He said, but on your, he said, on your name, Moses, on your behalf, because you prayed for them, I will spare them. He could have wiped all of them out, just like he did when the ark, when Noah built the ark. He could have wiped out Noah too if he wanted to. But he chose not to. Because why? He walked in righteousness and God was with him. He served the God, he served God. He maintains us because his name is on the line. So that in verse 60, all the earth shall know that he is God and no one else. Allah wants to make you a slave. Our God wants to make you a family member. Ain't that something good? Man, that's good. Psalm chapter 46, verse 7 says, if you want to write it down or turn there, it says, for the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, if you read the Amplified, it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our fortress and high tower. When God is with you, number four, he is a refuge and a place of safety from your enemy. Let me tell you what the purpose of a high tower is. What did they do in the old day, in the Old Testament times when they built walls around their cities and they built towers? You know what the towers were for? To see the enemy coming. And what happens if you're in the high place and the enemy's in the low place? You have the advantage to destroy. Because you're up here, you have the advantage of the tower. You have the ability to see the enemy coming and destroy him from the high place. While the enemy is looking up and has no way of killing you or destroying you unless you expose yourself. He says, God is our refuge and our high tower. God is an ever-present help in danger. And he said, I will be your refuge and your high tower. I will be on the high tower watching for the enemy when he's coming and when he's pursuing you and when he's seeking to destroy you. I will find a way to catch him before he gets to you. That is the God we serve. Number five, if you're taking notes, I guess it's number five, I don't know. I don't make numbers, I just write notes. Mark chapter 16, if you want to turn there. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, don't ever get this messed up. Don't ever think. A lot of people have changed that scripture to thinking that you have to be saved and baptized to go to heaven. That is not true. That is not what that scripture said. There are people that get saved on their deathbed that don't have an opportunity to get baptized. You don't have to be dunked in water, by the way, which we're going to do today. You don't have to be dunked in water to be saved. If that was true, everybody that's been swimming would be saved. Amen? Sounds logical, I guess. I don't know. I anoint you. Now jump. It says, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And by the way, we don't handle snakes. But if you were ever like Paul and you handled a snake, guess what? You wouldn't die if you believe by faith. Remember when Paul was bitten by one of those deadly snakes, one of those vipers, when he was shipwrecked and stranded on that island, bitten by a deadly viper? He didn't die. They thought he was a god. He said, no, but my God's the one that saved me. Amen. He says in verse 18, and if they drink any deadly thing, this means if you accidentally drink any deadly thing, if someone tries to poison you, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, you can do that. Amen. You can lay hands on people and command them to be healed and cast out devils. Some people are chronically sick. What do you do then? People that are chronically sick don't think that there's ever a way of getting out. There's no way I could ever not be sick. I've been sick for 30 years. How could I ever not be sick? Yeah, that's what the, you know, I'm wondering if that lady with the issue of blood who was had the issue of blood for years and years, whether it's like 17 years or 20 years or whatever it was, 12 years. You know what she said? She said, I might have been chronically sick. She said, but I have said within myself that if I could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And the only reason she was healed is because she believed that if she could just touch the hem, that she would be healed, and she was. What about blind Bartimaeus? Blind for years. Jesus laid hand on him. He gets well. Blind for years. People all through the Bible, sick for years, blind for years. There was a man possessed by demons, by a legion of demons, which if you study it out, is thousands and thousands of devils on the inside of that guy. And that's not even fathomable. That's hard to even comprehend that that many devils could live on the inside of somebody. Possessed by devils, cutting himself, living in a cave, yelling at night, and then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Jesus, save me. Then guess what? He gets healed. No more cutting, no more scraping, no more screaming at night. Even the villagers came and said, my Lord, what is that guy doing sitting around the campfire with a man named Jesus for? How is he sitting there and not trying to kill everybody? Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus can just walk in the room and everybody get healed. I mean, that's the thing about our God is he doesn't have to leave somewhere to go somewhere else. He's everywhere. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and he can be everywhere at the same time. And he can heal more than one at the same time. He doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to wait for your turn, in other words. You don't have to wait and say, well, you know, grandma, she's still sick. Why would I believe that I can be healed if she's still sick? I should be believing for her. That's ignorant thinking. You should be believing for both of you to be healed. Amen? Be praying for grandma. And I'm telling you, if you pray for grandma, God probably heal you and you won't even have to pray for yourself. There's something about our God, and all he wants is your trust. All he wants you to do is trust him. That's all tithes and offerings are. He just wants you to trust him. There's nothing that pleases God more than faith. And there's nothing that makes him more, that makes him hurt more than doubt. Nothing. Watch this. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in heaven. This is Jesus leaving the earth, and he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. When God is with you, signs will follow. People will come to you and make peace with you. People will come to you and want to know who Jesus is, and they will allow you to pray for them and they will get saved. That is a sign. People don't just get saved because somebody told them to on TV. God is on the inside working around them and working with them and saying, if you will receive me and just pray a prayer, I will come and I will make bread with you and I will live on the inside of you. That's signs, people. Laying hands on the sick, that's signs. And seeing people get healed, those are signs and wonders. When God is with you, number five, he will confirm the word and signs shall follow you. He will confirm his word and signs shall follow you. I had a revelation while I was at the ministers' conference in San Antonio. I want to read to you. And this might be you. I don't know. But I had to, anytime I get revelation, see, I don't just sit around and write the whole sermon on my notepad when I'm listening to someone talk. If I want the whole sermon, I can just go get it on the CD. Amen. But when God talks to me, I write it down. Watch this. Stop focusing on what you haven't done right in life and start focusing on what you can do right. Watch this. Stop condemning yourself. Watch this. Stop doing things for God and start doing things with Him. You are not an employee. You are a family member. Boy, that's good revelation right there. I'm not an employee of God. I don't have to work my way into heaven. I don't have to go do this and do that and do this and do that and do this and do that and try to walk perfect every day and pray so many times during the day. I'm not an employee. I don't have to work my way to heaven. I have received Jesus. That's my golden ticket. Now I start getting on the meat of the word, and I start doing things with God instead of for him. He don't need things. He don't need us to do things for him. Do you think God needs you to do things for him? I mean, he created the whole universe, created man. Does God wake up and say, you know what, Kenny, I need you to do this today. If you don't do this, the angels are not going to get their dry cleaning on time. And if you don't do this, I won't have enough manna in heaven to feed all the angels and all the people that have died and come to heaven already. Grandma won't get manna because, you know, she's already passed away. She's in heaven. She won't get fed today. God does not need you, but he wants you. You see, the thing about the difference between an employee and a family member is an employee works for a boss. A boss will tell you to do something, and you go do it by yourself. The thing about being a family member is that God is always with you, working with you, even if he asks you to do something. He works with you. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that you can't do things for God, because y'all know better than that. Y'all know that when God asks you to do something, you better do it. If you want to be blessed financially or whatever you're believing for, if God tells you to do something, he said, if you will do this, I will do this. God always gave an instruction to somebody who was looking for a blessing. He always gave an instruction. Remember, he could have healed that guy that was blind. He didn't have to spit in the ground and make mud and rub it in his face and say, hey, all right, now walk 1 mile over there to the pool of Siloam and you'll be healed. He didn't have to do that. He could have just said, all right, you're healed. Sometimes God will give you an instruction. Sometimes God will just heal you like that. I don't try to figure out God's way, because God, like the Bible says, God's ways are higher than our ways. That doesn't mean we can't know the ways. It just means that sometimes he will rub spit in your face and say, walk 1 mile, even though you're blind, to the pool and get your face washed so that you can be healed. And as soon as he washed his face, he could see. Some of us just need to wash our face. Amen. We're not looking correctly because we got mud on our face. And all he's saying is, walk 1 mile with me, and I will show you that you will not have to be blind any longer. Quit doing things for God and start doing them with him, and he will show you things. You're looking for a blessing, he might give you an instruction. If you're looking for a blessing, he might just say, okay, this is it. I'll fix it for you right then. Don't ever follow or listen to those silly sayings that people put on Facebook that just stand still and let God fight the battle. Stand still and let God fight the battle. It doesn't always work that way. God is working on your behalf, and sometimes he will fight the battle for you, but there are some times when he's going to tell you to pick up the sword and go fight. He's not going to say, just sit down and just wait for me. I'll do it all. I've got it all taken care of. If that was true, why do we need to pursue wisdom? Why do we need to pursue knowledge? Why do we need to read the Bible if God's got it all under control? There's an enemy. If God's got everything under control, why are there hurricanes? Why are there tornadoes blowing people away in Alabama, killing 27 people? You know, if we served that kind of God, what kind of God would he be? You got to stand up and you got to fight. You got to learn how to fight, because God's not always going to fight the battle. He'll be there telling you, hey, he'll be whispering in your ear, hey, there's an enemy coming. I need you to do this. You don't have to do it, but you can. He said, if you will start confessing with your mouth and start commanding that enemy to flee, I guarantee you he will flee. They will turn on themselves just like they're doing right now. The enemy will turn on itself, and he said, if you will just stand. There are going to be times when he's going to just tell us to stand there and worship him and praise him and lift up his name. He said, I will make the enemy turn on itself. They will start to fight amongst themselves. They will dissolve themselves like sugar in water. And then there won't be anything left but just water with sugar in it. Stop working for God and start doing things with him. You are not an employee, and he is not the boss. He is your God. Bosses always turn you loose and say, you know what, just go do it. They'll give you an instruction, and they'll just turn you loose. But God will tell you, hey, go do it, but I'll be with you. Or he'll say, just stand still, I'm with you. I got this taken care of. I'll take care of this battle because this battle is way too much for you. You can't handle this one. This is going to be bigger than you. But then there's going to be times he tells you to stand and fight. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Jesus, also known as Yeshua. God, our Redeemer. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, the God who stands and fights for us, the one who stands and fights for us. He said, "A virgin will give birth and you will call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Ain't that good revelation? Ever since you were born, ever since the day you were born, God has always wanted to be with you. And I can't explain, you know, I don't pretend to know why babies die or why grandma dies before time or why, you know, movie stars like Luke Perry, the 90210 guy, dies at the age of 50-something. I don't pretend to know all that. But I can tell you one thing. That God will be with you if you'll let him. He's wanted to be with you since the day you were born. He's always wanted you. He's always cared for you. Even though evil exists in this world, he has always cared about your situation. Just like the Floyds when their house burned. I can't even imagine what it must have been like standing there watching your house burns while the fire trucks run out of water. Four times. And I told them, I went and told the guy, I said, you know, he didn't come here. I mean, I don't know why they couldn't, but anyway, they knew they could come here, and they were having to run back and forth to town to get water while their house just burns. You know, I don't know why things like that happen. I don't pretend to know. But I do know that God will be with you. Amen. Even when it hurts. And I don't know the solution. You know, we like to throw money at situations, and we will. But money's not the solution. Money will fix a temporary problem. But God is the solution. God is the one that can fix and restore and repair and fix all that has been destroyed. Because you have to remember, it's never as bad as it first appears. Oh, it'll hurt at first. But as you go along a little longer, and you get past all the pain, you start thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm okay. This ain't as bad as I thought it would be. I know being without a home and being without clothes and being without all that stuff, it's painful. I understand that. But it's never as bad as it first appears. And I don't care how bad your situation is, I'm here to tell you that God will get you through it. If you're having to walk through the valley, keep walking. Don't stop. And don't do like Corey says, don't get out your tent just because it's just a temporary solution. I'll just build my tent right here. This will fix the problems temporarily. Don't build a tent where you are not called to be. You are not called to be in the valley. You are called to be on the mountaintop. You are not called to be in the valley. Do not build a tent or be satisfied or be complacent with being in the valley. Because that's where the enemy dwells. You have to be on the mountaintop, looking down and watching the enemy destroy itself. You have to be on the mountaintop because why? That's where you're called. Where is heaven going to dwell when it comes back to earth? On top of a mountain. The book of Revelation tells you that it will be on the top of a mountain. Because that's where we belong. That's where God says, if you will be there, I will bless you. But you got to be there. And if you're not there, that's your problem, not God's. People get mad because you might, you know, talk about Jesus at your job Or maybe you say things like you don't agree with homosexuality, or you don't believe in, you know, Allah or whatever. I'm here to tell you, you tell them this. They don't have a problem with you. They have a problem with God. Take it up with him. You don't like it? I didn't write the Bible. I just preach it. You tell them. I don't care what you think. If you don't like it, take it up with him. But you know what? Most of the time, they don't want to take it up with him. People that don't believe in God don't want to take it up with him. Your life can be a collection of miracles or a collection of failures. Which milestones are you going to hit this year? Have you written any goals down? What's your plan? You can be a walking collection of miracles, or you can be a walking collection of failures. I always like to, I was thinking the other day, I was watching golf and I was watching Tiger Woods. You know, I don't care how bad he's been in his past. That dude can play some golf. And I thought to myself, this phrase just came to my mind. He is a walking historical monument. He is a walking historical monument because of what he's done in golf. And one day they're going to, they'll build a statue of him hitting a golf ball just like Arnold Palmer because of his successes. Are you a walking historical monument? What is it that you do that makes people see the God that's on the inside of you? What are you doing? How much do you pursue God? How much do you listen to him? Are you willing to listen to him? Do you trust him? When he tells you to do something, do you just slough it off and say, that's not God. That just has to be my conscience. Well, you know what? God will talk to your conscience too. He'll use your conscience. There's many ways God can talk to you. He can use other people to talk to you. You'll be thinking of something, and he'll send somebody else to confirm what you've been thinking about, because you're not getting it. And he will find ways to prosper you. He might send two, he might send three, he might send 10 opportunities to walk in this blessing he's wanting you to walk in. He might just send one, I don't know. Everybody's different. But are you going to be a walking collection of miracles or a walking collection of failures? What is your life story? What is your journal? When they get up here and read about you one day, and I pray this doesn't happen, I pray the rapture happens before we pass or leave the earth, before we die. But what are they going to say? If you died today and they stood up here and talked about you, what would they say? With every head bowed and every eye closed. And Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, because he is God with us." Our God loves you so much, and he does not care about your religion. He doesn't care where you used to go to church or where you go to. If you're visiting here, maybe you have your own church you go to. I don't care what your religion says. There's only one thing that matters, and it's this. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? That's the only thing that's going to matter. If you were to die today, that's the only thing that would matter. God's going to ask you one question. There's nothing more important than a question in life. God's going to ask you one question when you get to heaven. He's going to say, "Did you receive my son Jesus? Is his name written in the Lamb's book of life?" If it is, then you get to go to a place called heaven. If it's not, then you go to a place called hell. There are two destinations after you die and leave this earth. Only two. But the thing is about our God is he loved us so much that he gave us a choice. You can choose, because when you get to heaven, you're going to have to answer for all your choices. And this is going to be the most important one. Did you choose Jesus before you left the earth? with every head bowed and every eye closed. We're not going to ask you to come to the front, not going to embarrass you or anything like that. All we want you to do is pray a prayer with us. And I believe that if you will pray this prayer and mean what you say, I believe that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. Now, I'm not saying you just got to say it. I'm saying you got to mean it. Not just say it, but absolutely mean it. Get serious with God right now if you haven't received him. If you've never received him, I want you to pray this prayer with all of us, and everybody's going to pray it with you. We don't want to embarrass anybody. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and arose again on the third day. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, I just want you to, on the count of three, just acknowledge to me. I'll be the only one looking around. Just let me know that you prayed that prayer, because we like to see signs and wonders. We like to see salvation. It builds us up. So if you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hand up right quick on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Thank you. Thank you. Hold your hand up for just a second. If you can just hold your hand up for just a second, and there's nobody looking around, we have Bibles that we want to give you. We just want to give you a Bible right quick. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's looking around. Just keep your hand where somebody, right over here, guys, right over here. Right over here, there's one, or there's might be two, three. Just hold your hand. Just, you don't have to lift it way up, just so we can see you. There's two right here in the middle. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? I'll give you a few more seconds here. There's nobody looking around. We're just going to give you a Bible. Inside of that Bible, there's a card. If you could fill it out, that card is the same as a visitor card. If you could just fill it out and put it in this offering bucket, we'd appreciate it. All we're going to do is call you one time and just say, you know, if you're a visitor, we're going to say thanks for coming. If you got saved, we're going to say things like, you know, do you need anything? You know, congratulations, you're in the family of God. You have received Jesus as your Lord. Your destiny is heaven. There ain't nothing more important than your destiny right now. Your life on this earth is not near as important as your eternal salvation. Not near as important. Man, praise the Lord. 10, something, 11, I don't know. There's just people everywhere. Amen. All right, look at me. A few quick announcements before we get out of here.